Royce Hashem, Amorois to Horois. That's on page 102. Pasuk Yud Beis. So we didn't finish the Rashi's. We finished the Rashi. We'll just review very quickly. Imrois Hashem, Amorois to Horois, Kesef Tzoruf. The words of Hashem are pure. They are words of purity. They are comparable to silver that is tzoruf, that is purified. Ba'alil ha'aretz. So yes, we had two perushim as to what this means. The mitzvah stavid, it means that the kiln where it is Rashi. This is Rashi's second interpretation as well. We'll read Rashi very quickly. It's the kiln, the furnace in which it is purified is used from is the best.
Actually, kiln is used for powder.
So this is a furnace?
Smelter.
Okay, smelter. Excellent. So the smelter, it's the oven is a certain type of oven. A smelter, certain material. So it's the ba'alil is the best. Lashon of ilui. The best earth that this world manufactures is used as the raw material to make the smelter. Mizukok. The word mizukok means it is refined. Shiv or soyim seven times over. Okay, let's review the Rashi. The Rashi anyway cites the mitzvah. So just look at the Rashi very quickly. Let's start from the top of the page. Ba'alil. Okay, what does it mean ba'alil? So Rashi says l'shem gili shu b'loshem mishnah bein shenir ba'alil bein shlonir ba'alil. According to the first interpretation, it means that it is revealed. La'aretz means the people of this world. And really, you should go back to the previous Rashi. I'll go back to the previous page. To Harois Berudois Umiskaimois Kol Mashem Shem Maftiach Voisem Varei Hivtechani Yeshua Malchus Hakadosh Baruch Hu. According to Rashi, Rashi says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu's words, the words to Harois, means they are Borazer Mechol said yesterday very precisely. Baruch Oimer V'Oisem. Whatever Hashem promises, Hashem does. Kesef Tzaduf, Harim Gekesef Tzaduf, Shagolui L'chol Oretz. It is revealed. Anyone who wants can come and test it. This transparency. The fact that this Kesef is Tzaduf, it's pure, and it's not, there's no fraud, it's not a fake. Every single person has the ability on his own to examine it, and to test it, and to make his own determination that the silver that he's viewing is pure, is refined, and is not fake. Ba'alil, it is revealed, la'aretz, to the inhabitants of this world. The aretz means the people who live on this world, they have the ability to examine it on their own, and they can come to their own conclusion, it's exposed. Transparency at its best. Then Rashi goes on to say, "What the mitzvah stuff? It's the v'yeshem v'ashem ba'alil l'shem ma'aloh." The word alil does not mean revealed. In the first interpretation, the word ba'alil means revealed. In this interpretation, it means it's the best, like an ilu, the best l'shem ma'aloh l'chein perushoy kesef tzaduf ba'alil aretz kolaymar ka kesef hatzaduf ba'mishubach sheva afar. A smelter, this device that is used to remove the impurities is the best that money can buy. It has the best reviews on Amazon. It's used by Mishabach Sheba Afar, the finest earth of this world, of the Elyon Shabbat, Ki Kurei HaMetzadeh, person, those who smelt metal, Yase Adam in Afar HaMishabach, this machine, this device that is used to remove the impurities is made from the best earth, Lashper. Okay, Lashon, now we go to another interpretation, number three. Lashon Acher, another interpretation. Ba'alil, kimo Eli, kimo Harifos Ba'ali. What does that mean? V'hu shem klisha koi sishin b'soichoi. It doesn't mean the best. It is actually describing the device. It's the name of this smelter, I guess. V'chein Ba'alil, Ba'alil. Hakur, it means the actual, it's called the smelter, that's what it's called?
Yeah.
The smelter. Shematichin l'soichai ha-zeha v'yakesef.
The core
ha-barzel. So that's a smelter for iron. And then there's a special smelt that's used for silver and for gold. Each metal has its own type of device.
Well, maybe the device is the same.
What are you putting inside of it? Not necessarily. I don't know how they get to know people who know these things. So according to this interpretation, the problem over here with this is that he's not really telling us over here what the word aretz means.
What he's describing here, it says,
is
a mortar and pestle.
Right, a mortar and pestle. So the word eli, which we know to be the isn't there when you deal with grain. So you put grain into a receptacle, and you take what looks like a baseball bat, and you bang on it.
That's the pestle.
Now, what is that called in Hebrew? What are the terms for the Eli and the container and the baseball bat? I don't know, but over here he's saying the word. I think the Eli is the basin. It seems like he's saying that the Eli is the name of the basin. It's typically. The iron that you bang. So what are the Hebrew words? I'm not sure what the Hebrew words are, but it seems from the Rashi seems to single that the Eli is the receptacle in which you put the grain.
Yes.
Ordinarily you deal with the seeds, the seeds, mm-hmm. barley seeds, the wheat seeds, and you put it into a mortar. And then you put it into a receptacle, and then you take what looks like a baseball bat from the Flintstones and you bang on it in order to crush it. So the same way you have those two items we got with regard to wheat, we're borrowing those terms and we're referring here to smelting of metal. And the receptacle in which you put the metal as you melt it down is called the alil. Same idea. So again, the yesh mefarsh, so loshen acher, ba'alil, kamo eli. It is the receptacle for wheat. Here it's something similar. The soich harifos ba'ali within the harifos, the item that has been weakened.
The Hebrew word is mechakesh ba'ali.
Mechakesh ba'ali. To crush.
It's a mortar and pestle.
So that's the mortar, and the pestle is the mechatesh.
Yes.
So this is
the
this
thing
that crushes. So here the hu shen kli shekoyseshin b'soichai. That's what's referring to grain. The chain ba'alil. Likewise, it's the same shayrish. Here ba'alil is the receptacle hakur shematichin b'soichai that you smelt. Within Hazav HaKesef. So then when it says La'aretz, I guess it means that this Alil is Mechubar to the ground. So it says over here that Hashem's words, Amoretz Taharetz, it's like Kesef Tzoruf, silver that is refined, Ba'alil La'aretz in the Alil, in this receptacle that is Mechubar to the ground.
A crucible,
a kura barzel.
That's often translated.
Same idea. So Rashi says now, v'zeh einoy nira. I don't like this. Why not? L'fi she'einoy korei eli hamachtei she'koyseshin l'sechah. I was suspicious of. We don't translate it that way. There are two parts. There is the receptacle, and then there is the item that you hold in your hand and you use to hit the grain. So you got the words all mixed up. The word Eli is not the receptacle. The word Eli in the context of the mortar and the pestle is the item that you hold in your hand to hit, not the receptacle. So here it would not make any sense, because over here when it comes to smelting of metal, there is no object that you hold in your hand to bang with. There's only one item. There is just the receptacle into which you pour the molten metal, the silver. Eli yad hamach teish. Shekoy sishin boy shekoyrin, which is what is that word?
The word is pilon, which
is the pestle.
It's a pestle. But the word in English, we have the word pylon, which is something a little different. It's a marker that stands up like on a runway, or you know, the pylons mark the way, or on a goal line of a football field. You can have the pylons.
Okay. So therefore, he rejects this. Now he goes on to say, Loshon Acher.
Yeah. He doesn't talk about this. Ha'aretz is the kli. Because the kesef was in a place.
Okay, it could be that's what he's going to say now in the next interpretation. Lashon Acher Ba'alil, Lashon Baal. The word Ba'alil, Lashon of Baal. Beis Ayin Lamed. See, we until now, we were assuming that the Shoresh, in order to all of the interpretation that we've been dealing with until now, that Beis was just a prefix. The Beis is not part of the Shoresh of the word. The Shoresh of the word was the Ayin, the Lamed, and the Yud. Maybe even the other, Alil. Now he's saying, no, you got it wrong. The word, the Shoresh of the word is Beis Ayin Lamed, a Baal, a husband.
The stay
Baal, a field that is a Baal is a stay. I think that's more an Aramaic word. Maybe we'll see.
You don't have to water it.
It's watered by the rain. A stay Baal, but it could be the word Baal. That word in the Mishnah could be in the Gemara. It could be it's an Aramaic word. I don't know if we can cross over to the Tanakh. Let's see. Lashon Acher Baalil, Lashon Baal, Kiloimar. And we are in the parentheses. This is what Yad Kiloimar. Adoin, the master Haaretz. V'shevach hamila, and the praise of this word, or the thrust of this word, kineged Hashem, is referring to or the subject. I think v'shevach hamila is what we call in English the subject. The subject of the word is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kineged Hashem, and the gam targum yonason hu l'shem adnos. Targum yonason over here, what does he say in targum yonason? It says, buchra al ara. Go back to the previous page. Oh, this one here. This is it's Milin da Hashem, Milin Dachyam, pure. Sima Sinina. Okay, I don't know what these words mean. Sinina Bichura Alara. I don't know what those words mean.
It's an expression of lordship. It says that his sayings, Hashem's, are like silver, refined by the Lord of the earth.
The Lord of the Baal La'aretz, the master of the world. Excellent. So we have to know there are so many different terms. I really feel that I don't do this. I should always record all the different terms in Tanakh that are used even by one of the commentators to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have so many beautiful expressions in Tanakh that are a description of Hashem. So many. So Chaval.
Allah and the Alul. The
Alul
is the one who is dependent. The Allah is the one who
the
Alul is dependent on.
I'm not familiar with this. What is
the relationship
word?
Between man and God?
So what do those two words mean literally?
I just told you.
The one that is dependent and the one that is the provider. Yeah, but what's the shurish of that word you're referring to? What's the word you're referring to?
I assume it's similar to what we have here.
The master. But there's no bays in that word.
Okay.
So you're saying the bays is going to drop out? Okay, I hear what you're saying. The
basic terminology.
Okay. I'm not familiar. So here he's saying the bays is really part of the shurish. It's the master. Me'adoyin ha'aretz. So the Amar. Let's go back over here. The shevach hamil, the subject of the meal is connected Hashem. The gam. You will see in a moment this is a kind of Amaki Aki Imroy Seinu Kesef Sarof Imroy Seinu. What do you mean Imroy Seinu? Our words. According to this interpretation, the word Imroy Hashem, Imroy Toharois, he puts upon man. Imroy Seinu. Our words are Kesef Sarof Me'adoin Ha'aretz. They were given to us. Our language is derived from the master of the earth, Shu Hashem, Shehut Shehut Seiraf Vizikek Oyestemach HaKadosh Baruch Hu has purified them.
Let's look. By the way, this is the place where it says to you that because this Rashi is quoting Targum Yonasan,
yes,
it says Rashi never quotes Targum Yonasan, therefore it is doubtful
that Rashi is the real Rashi. Fascinating. Let's look at the Sifsei Zekeinu. In the Siv Zekein, what does it say? It says Ba'alil Kaloimar, Kaloimar, Adoin Ha'aretz, and this goes going back on Isalf is this interpretation that Ba'alil Lashon of Baal, Baal Kaloimar, Adoin Ha'aretz, the master of the Aretz, Veshava Hamila, Nir Ali Shekach Tzor Kaloimar, there's a mistake in the words, there's a mistake in the Girsa, and is Shekach Tzor Kaloimar, what did he change? Ba'alil kloimar, kiloimar, adoin aretz, v'shevach hamila. Okay, I think what he says in the Siv Sei Zekeinim is already, it's been already corrected. It could be that the Siv Sei Zekeinim had a different gears in Rashi, which was corrupt, and he corrected it, and in our text it seems it was corrected. nearly, shkach tzorch loymar, v'tzivas kefa honi l'kedegin Hashem, v'tzor loymar, v'zeu targum yonison baal, l'shoin adnus, sh'be'emes v'targum yonison kan loy perishke. Okay, that was my question. It doesn't seem like he's saying it over here. So he's saying over here, he's referring to something else. There's something else. Rak biradak isa perzeh ayin shem. So we'll see the dach in a few moments. Next, ois beis, perish rashi zal, v'gam targum yonison, loy motzosi v'targum yonison shlofinu, we don't find that in our text. The Amarki im roisof kesef kach tzorch loymar is a mistake. It's not im rois say nu. Okay, that also threw me off. It's not our words. It's his words. There's another mistake in the text. Kach tzorch loymar v'kal lohavim. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to the pasuk. The Amar ki im rois Hashem v'zikik oisam sefer acher v'zikik oisam. And this already, I think, is going to do this part of the Rashi. This already is ois dalid. Did we do ois dalid? No, you did ois aliyah. The zikek oisam sefer acher enoi mizukok the list dilo toirin. Okay, that's already the next. Soif adiver achach nirsham pasuk. Okay, that's already going to be. That's already the next part of the Rashi. Okay, let's recap. Let us recap what is going on over here. We have already so many perushim. It's unbelievable. And then we have to see the radak. Just try to settle down what we have here. Beautiful pasuk. Imrois Hashem. The words of Hashem are im amarois to hayrois. According to Rashi, this does not mean pure. It means Hashem is, an ish is nema. Baruch oimer v'yoseh. When Hashem promises, Hashem's promises come to fruition. They come true. Kesef tzarf. The words of Hashem are like kesef tzaruf. Ba'alil lo'aretz. What does those words mean? So we have at least four perushim as to what these words mean. First, the mitzudoi stavit is, it's describing the location, the type of smelter which is used to purify the silver. They're all different. You buy a product. You know, you go to Amazon. You want to buy toothpicks. I used to buy toothpicks around the corner at the Chinese store. It was 99 cents. I didn't even think about it. I just took a thing off the shelf and I bought a toothpick. Now I go to Amazon. I could waste a whole hour. I didn't know there's only 1,000 different types of toothpicks. Bamboo wood and this wood and that wood. This side, that you go with sugar. I can read the reviews forever about all the different types of reviews on toothpicks. I mean, come on already. How many toothpicks are there out here? Okay, it's just amazing what Amazon can do to your mind. It can destroy you. In the olden days, life was so easy. Just buy toothpicks. No. You have to read the reviews. Make this ultimate selection. Unbelievable. So it's the same thing with the smelter. When you mark the next time you smelt metal, don't just go to your local store on Avenue M to buy a smelter. Go to Amazon. You learn there are a lot of different types of smelters, all different types of quality material. You don't want them to when they take out the pollutants, they'll put in new pollutants. You got to buy the best of the best. Ba'alil means the ilui, the best earth is used to create this object which you use to purify the silver. That is the first parish. That's the only parish of the Bitsuta Sovit.
What is the best parish?
That's the parish of the Mitsuta Sovit. That's the parish of Rashi's second interpretation. The next interpretation is Ba'alil means it is Golui. It means it's revealed. It's transparent. Transparency at its best. La'aretz does not mean earth. It means humanity, people. The B'nai, the people who live on this world, the people who live on this world, it is exposed to them. They have full access to the information to analyze to see that Hashem's promises come true. Study history. Look at the world. You will see that whatever Hashem promises comes true. Interpretation number three. Ba'alil seemingly means the receptacle. Just like we have a mortar and a pestle. The pestle is the baseball bat. And the mortar is the receptacle. So the word Ba'alil, Rashi, Singer, Kalm was going to refine the pshat, but Ba'alil seems to be the receptacle. The receptacle, and here is describing the Kesef is Tzoruf. Where is it Tzoruf? In Ba'alil, in a receptacle that is La'aretz, I'm assuming he doesn't explain, is attached to the ground, that is on the ground. Now, what was the problem with that interpretation? Because the Rashi is comparing it to the case of grinding wheat. Grinding wheat, the word alil is not the receptacle. It is that baseball bat that you see in the Flintstones. That's so opposite. So therefore, Rav Kalman says it's not a kasha, it's not a question, because that's literally the la'oretz is really the receptacle, and the alil is the pesel. So that you can just take that interpretation and just refine it a little bit to make it work.
And what Hashem,
to the people, to mankind.
Hashem talks to
the mankind. To the mankind.
By the way, what is Hashem?
I see what you're saying. Very nice. The word La'aretz we can put back in the beginning of the
passage.
To mankind.
He talks
beautiful.
Clear.
And the kesef is saruf ba'alil in the ba'alil in an object which is hit. Which is, I guess, but then you have to ask the question, what do you need the alil for? What do you need when you smelt metal? I guess you need to stir it. I guess the same way you have in a mortar. In a mortar, you're actually doing something very significant with the pestle. You're actually banging on the grain to crush it, to pulverize it. But I assume that you have to mix when you smelt metal. We need to get some good YouTube videos to see how they smelt, how they purify metal. And I guess I'm assuming you have to go and stir it like a pot, like in Gehenna. stir things around to remove the impurities. Okay, mizukok. So then we have the next interpretation. Then we have the last interpretation of Rashi that it refers to the master. It's a beautiful interpretation that Hashem's words, Imrez Hashem im amaros taharos, kesef tzaduf, Ba'alil la'aretz. Hashem's, the master of the earth, the Baal, the one who is the master of this earth, his words are like kesef. You have to mikra mesuros, you have to rearrange the words according to this notation. It's like a new statement. The alil, just like we have with the words of the Hashem, we have a new term. The ba'alil la'aretz, the Baal of this earth, of this world, his words are like kesef tsaruf mizukok shiv osoyim. A whole new interpretation. Unbelievable. Now let's go over here at the Radak. He sends us to the Radak. Radak, back on the previous page, on page 103. Imarois Hashem, amarois tohorois, v'im taimru, ki ma sheyoymar Hashem lo yokum. This that you want to suggest that Hashem will not lo yakum, he will not be true to his word. Loichein, that's a lie. Hashem's words are gold. Ki imarois Hashem heim amarois tohorois ein bohem sig. There is no impurity. Ki kulam emes. Every word from Hashem is emes. Veheim kimoi kesef sodut v'chakesef shu mizugok shuvosayim. You notice he just jumps to the end of the pasuk. He skips the whole part that we want to discuss, and now he goes backwards to the hard part. Uperush ba'alil ha'aretz kimo. Ba'al ha'aretz, the master of this world. Uperushoi adoin ha'aretz, v'habeis shoresh. The base is part of the root. Ba'al, like we said before, v'hukafu lamed. Why is your double lamed over here? Lamed ha'po'al. The lamed is the lamed, lamed the po'al. There are three words in every shoresh. Pei, ayin, lamed. The three letters. Three letters in every standard shoresh. Three letters. So the last letter, what is the lamed pa'al, the lamed of this word? A lamed. It happens to be that the lamed is a placeholder. Pei is the first letter. Ayin is the second letter. Lamed is the third letter. So what is the third letter of this word? Lamed. Happens to be a lamed. Baal. The three letters of the sharish are base, ayin, lamed. So the pei is the base. The ayin is an ayin in this case. And the lamed is a lamed. It's very interesting, you know, because you know why? Because the bays and the pay are interchangeable. In Aramaic, for example, barzel. How do you say in Aramaic barzel? Parzela. The bays and the pay are very often interchangeable. Yeah, in a Sefer Torah,
they're similar sounds.
They can't pronounce
pa and bo. Pa and bo.
I think they're called closer.
They're similar, and if in a Sefer Torah, there's a lot of, in Sefer Torah,
yeah.
How do you write the Mishnah Berurah? It's very into this. If you look at the old Sefer Torah, the pays are written differently, and the Mishnah Berurah is very disturbed. I remember this, and I used to look at my father, and my father showed a lot of Sefer Torah. I would always play around with them. I would take care of them, and they were all very old. And the pays are all written exactly the way the Mishnah Berurah says you should not write a pay. He calls it a pay shavur. A pay shavur. And he describes the way the pay should be made. And basically what comes out is the white part. The inside of a pay is the letter bays. When you look at a pay today, all the new Sefer Torah ready for at least 70 years already. You look at all the new Sefer Torah, the way a pay is written, you look at the inside of the pay, you see a white bays. That's not an accident. That's the by design, because the letter pay and the letter bays, so they go together. There's some type of relationship between the two.
You probably and, know that in Arabic,
yeah,
they can only pronounce the B sound, not the P sound. You don't know
there's no
example. The city of Panyas in the Mishnah is called Panya. Nablus, it was originally named by the Romans Neapolis, which was the city.
They cannot pronounce the P.
And they cannot pronounce it.
Wow.
So it became Nablus.
Fascinating. So you see there's a very significant relation between these two letters. So I just find it very interesting is that you know, the pe'a pa'a. In Hebrew, I don't know if there's an equivalence, in English doesn't seem there's an equivalence of this concept. In Hebrew grammar, when you deal with grammar, your starting point is the word, the pa'a. Pa'a. Pa'a means action. It means pu'ula. And we once discussed this at length. And this is it, almost like an avodah zarah. Pay ayin lamed. Everything revolves around this word, poa. And when you take any word in Tanakh, you right away have to, okay, here's the word, let's now find its root. And we have to match up the word that we are analyzing to the pay, which one of those letters is the pay apoa. Which one of those letters is the ayin hapa'al, and which one is the lamed? It's like this is, everything starts with the word pa'al. Pei ayin lamed, it's the root. By the way, who made this up? Is it Radaku? The Radak, the Sefer HaKimchi? You know, this is like universal. No one argues with this. In the English language, there's such a concept. I never remember in elementary school or in high school, not that I learned very much, I never remember learning rules of grammar, never remember such a thing as they have this word, they have this word, and every time you're dealing with verbs, nouns, adjectives, and discussing another language, to match up the letters of a word to some other equivalent, some starting point. The starting point is poa. It is very interesting that bao, yeah, so in Latin, is there such a thing in Latin to do something like this? I don't know, maybe there is, I don't know. This technique. In Hebrew grammar, the technique is a universal technique in all the Mefarshim, all the Rishonim, everyone goes with this. You have a word, you want to study the word, poa, pei ayin lamed. That's where we start. Now you have a word, we have to match up the one letter to the pei, one letter to the ayin.
I mean, you knock off the prefixes and the suffixes and you're left with
the root, and then you begin to manipulate. But the starting point is poa. It's there. So why did that word...
This is what they call in Hebrew the safah haya. If there is a shoresh, and then it's someach.
It blossoms.
I remember we used to draw like a tree. So you had three letters and find all the words that say, what's computer? Computer is
Mahashev.
Machshev. Why Machshev? Because you think. So okay. Chet, Shin, Bet. Come on.
Calculate.
New words.
And calculate.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So this, we once had a discussion about this. Why was, is the Hashgacha, HaKol B'Hashgacha, nothing is a coincidence, especially when it comes to something like this. And why was this word, Poal, selected, the Hashgacha practice, to be the so we had, I don't remember what we said, we had some Kiddushim on this. I think there was a Pasuk. it was a pasuk which described Hashem as the Poal.
Mi Poal Versa.
Could be that was it. Mi Poal Versa. It is describing Hashem. Hashem as the one who is active. Now here's what occurs to me right now. The pay and the bays are mirror images. They're really the same. I mean, to a degree. So when you interchange the pay with the bays, what do you get? Baal. What is Baal? The noun. Baal, Hashem is, it's the ultimate noun. Hashem is the creator. The word Baal does not connote action. It's the ultimate, purest noun, an object. What is a noun? Noun is a description, it is the object, the cup. A cup, this is a noun, an object. A tissue box, a table, a tablecloth. A human being, this person. It is, what is the ultimate noun? Hashem. And what is Hashem? Avram Avinu, Chazal described, who's the Baal Habira? Who is the Baal? Who's the boss? Who is the boss? Now, just that alone is dangerous. Because knowing who the boss is, well, the boss is on vacation. The boss is in Florida. The boss, he's on a cruise somewhere, the boss. No. Hashem is a poa. Hashem is active. The ultimate verb, pu'ula, action. Hashem is hashkocha pratis. Hashem is continuously active, involved in dealing with all the trouble that we make. Hashem is he's the poa. So therefore, it's interesting, you have this word Baal, which is the spitz of the noun, and the word Poel is the spitz of the verb.
In the parasha, you have both of them. In the Alav Imo Lo Yishalem, Baal Ono, and also in Kir, in Nara Amorasa, Ube Allah, Yishachav Ma.
It's a Baal, it's a Baal.
Both of them are Baal.
Baal,
but Hashem is Baal.
Baal. Hashem, Hashem is the ultimate
also,
Baal.
And also,
and Hashem, but Hashem, part of the Hashkocha is not just that Hashem is the creator, because that's not enough. Just having Emunah that Hashem created this world, so where is Hashem now? He's on vacation. He went somewhere. No, Hashkocha, Hashem is intimately involved in every event, everything that happens in this world. What is the ultimate verb? A verb. The ultimate verb is the verb itself. It's the verb. It's a poel. Poel means activity. Activity. So it's very interesting. This one word, beis ayin lamed, which is also the same as pei ayin lamed, because the beis and the pei are interrelated. Barzel, parzela. Nablus and
Neapolis.
Okay? The pei.
He's from Naples, he's a Neapolitan.
Okay, so it is these, and even in Kesav Ashuris, what's inside the pay, an invisible base. The two are related because this, in essence, defines Hashem. Hashem is the ultimate Baal, and is the ultimate poem. The ultimate being, and is the ultimate source of activity, of involvement, of motion, of movement, of activity. Okay, that's a side point going off there, but I think this is only because of this incredible Rashi, that this term is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Lamed, the Poal is the Lamed here, and he says the Yud Lam is a repetition. That's another thing, when you repeat letters, it's for emphasis. You repeat its emphasis, Ba'alil. Ba'alil, basically it's saying he's saying the Lamed twice. Beis Ayin Lamed, Lamed. The only way you're going to be able to get the Lamed out a second time, to express the Lamed a second time, is by putting a Chirik under the first Lamed. You want to say that Hashem is the Poal. He is the Dor. You want to say Hashem is the Baal. And you want to say it like he's the Baal with the capital Beis. Like in Hindi, you want to say, I could suppose say he. He, with the lowercase, is a person. He, with a capital H, refers to Hashem, right? In English. So here you want to refer to Hashem as being the Baal. and you want to say he's the Baal with a capital base. There's no such thing as a capital base, but there's something called the capital Lamed. You put the capital at the end, you emphasize, you repeat the Lamed a second time. How do you repeat the Lamed a second time? By putting a Chidik underneath the Lamed, and that allows you to put a Yud Lamed to repeat the Lamed a second time, to give emphasis that Hashem is the Balabayas. He is the boss. He's the Ba'alil Lo'oretz. Fine. The Lamed Lo'oretz, Lamed of Lo'oretz, it is, I'm on page 105 in the Radak. The second line, the Radak, Shulaymar, Ho'amarois, Ho'ilachim Kesef Tzaruf. Okay, Kesef Tzaruf, Me'adoin Kol Ho'oretz, the Lamed Lo'oretz, the Lamed of the word Lo'oretz, Kilamed Horgu Le'avner. He's acknowledging that the Lamed over here seems to be out of place. It would have been much better for us, Baal Ho'oretz. If we really want to take these two words and use them as a description of Hashem, we would assume that we should say Hashem is the Baal Ho'oretz. So first Radak says, don't be concerned about the word Baalil, because the word Baalil is just really, it's really the word Baal, and the Lamed is just repeated twice. And the way we repeat the Lamed twice is by putting a Chirik in the Yud Lamed, Baalil. Now, so we've taken care of the word Baalil. What about Lo'aretz? Did you say Baalil Ho'aretz? Why is there a Lamed instead of a Hey? So the answer is no, you don't know grammar. Go back to first grade and learn some grammar, and you'll know that this is indeed the correct way to say, in this context, how you put the two words together. It's Baalil Lo'aretz, not Baalil Oretz, or not Baalil Ho'aretz. Kilamid, like you have other examples in Tanakh, Horugu Le'Avner. Okay, they killed Avner. What's the Lamed? That's the way the words are constructed. The Hashel Yishi Le'Avshalom. It's an extra Lamed which is added in order to give more expression, or it's equivalent to the Hey Hayidia. Oitiya B'Mokam Hey Hayidia V'Yesh Mefarshim. Fine. That's one shot. Okay, so this is awesome stuff, amazing stuff. We have over here Rashi. Rashi just tells it means the master of the world, and the Radak comes along and he straightens out the grammar for us. Don't be confused. It's two lamids, Baalil. It's Baal, like what we would do in English, the capital He, H. In Hebrew, we put the capital at the end of the word, and we repeat it in this form. And Lo'aretz, the Lamed in grammar, can be in this context the equivalent to the Hey Hayidia, or if it's not a Hey Hayidia, it connects the two words. If you're fluent in Lashon HaKodesh, you'll right away understand that this is the correct way to write.
Law, not Le'aretz, law, it is part of the Hey Hayidia when you
that,
have law.
Okay, that's what he's saying. Law, right, so it's a shorter form. It's like the Hey Hayidia in a shorter form. Now he goes on, let's see what he says, goes a little bit further. Ubalil, then he goes on to say another interpretation. And then he says, the Yesh Mefarshim.
He takes the next one of Rashi, he takes the best one here.
Now there's other.
He likes the best,
what Rashi said at the very end. And then he goes on to say, the Yesh Mefarshim, Balil Habez, Shimush, Uperushai, Elyoin, Umishubach. Going back to what we said, that is the first shot of Rashi, the best. Ilui, the Bez is not part of the Shurish. The Shurish is Ali, which means like Elyon, it means the Al, or maybe Ayin Lamed, is the best, what's all the way on top. The best quality, Kolaymar, Kesef Tzaduf Ba Meshubach, Sheba Ofar She'oisim Mimenu Hakur. The best earth, okay, the best material that you can possibly get to produce is smelter that is of the highest quality, that only has 5-star reviews on Amazon. Fine. But I'm saying Zah. Then he has another interpretation by Perushu, Alil Mokhaim Hanira Vinigle. Goes again, Rashi mentioned this. Alil means revelation. Ba'amram Bein, this everyone already quoted this, the Gemara talks about the Rosh Hashanah when witnesses come to testify, and they ask them, where did you see the new moon? When you saw the new moon, did you see, was it clear or was it not clear? Was the new moon hiding behind the cloud, or was the new moon revealed? The Amram Mai Mashma, the high Alil Lishna, the Galuyehu, Dichsev. And the Gemara over there, in fact, the Gemara over there has this discussion. How do you know? The Gemara there quotes this pasuk in Tanakh 104. It quotes here Ba'alil Oretz. Okay, amazing stuff. We have over here Sach HaKol four perushim as to the translation of the word Ba'alil La'aretz. The most intriguing of them all is it's describing Hashem. Hashem is the Ba'al, the master of this world. Now, let's go. Now we go to the next part of Pasuk, which is more Kabbalistic. This is more Kabbalistic stuff. Mizukok Shiv Osoyim. It is purified sevenfold. What does that mean? You purify it seven times? It says by the Menorah, I think it says by the Menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was purified 50 times. I think there's a Medrash, maybe I'm making a mistake. There's a Medrash that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, he made the Menorah, had to be Miksha Achas, out of one piece of gold. So it had to be pure gold. They threw in an enormous amount of Kikar Zov. Okay, and it was purified 50 times. Every time they smelted it removed another mashul of impurity. There's no limit. There are certain things that they talk about this with the PCR tests. How far do you want to go? They do scans on people. They do take an X-ray, take a CAT scan. I mean, you can go in the sugar. You want to go and look at every single little dot. You know, Akan, where do you draw the line? Go buy an Esrom. But it's going to be perfect, perfect, perfect. The more you look, you'll find something. You take a microscope, you'll find some impurity. You know, how far do you go already?
Same with
Shidduchim, you got it.
And you don't know anything.
That's the truth. A shidduch, you know nothing. A shidduch is a sealed envelope. You don't know what you get. You do not know. You think you know. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. It's a seal. You need siyata d'shmaya.
By the way, when you have a word and you want to find out the meaning of it, you go the first time it was mentioned in the Tanakh. And kishiv, a time you come kind, the lemech shivim shiva.
Oh, so there rather than generations. There it's in how many generations? Okay, let's see how you get very good. You have to go analyze all these psukim. So Shiv Osoyim, let's see Rashi. The Mitzudos didn't say very much. Mitzudos said nothing. In fact, the Mitzudos over here didn't say anything on this. We go back to the Mitzudos. Did he even mention, did he even discuss this? No, I totally avoided this. They're very shocking. The Mitzudos David, where it was in the previous page. The previous page, he says, "V'chelim Hashem loypo ma mem arza ki ken yeshitik be'akoyach ha'ma'abed." Nothing. He didn't explain anything about this. He did not explain even one word. It's very, very disturbing because he usually is accounts for every single word. All he says about the word mizukok shivosayim pe'omim rabois. It's all he says. It's very unusual. The Mitzudas David does not leave out a single word.
Metaphor.
Right. He does not leave out a single word in the Mitzudas David. Never. And he usually gives you a little satisfaction in how he get. Here, it's unusual. All he says, Pa'am Rabbis, a lot. All Shivasaya means a lot. A lot. Doesn't say the number seven. Doesn't say the number 49. Maybe it means seven times seven. Some will say that. No, it just means a lot.
You have to understand there's a difference between a perush and a perush and a perush and a loving. The loving is not a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The perush is usually a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So every word has to be accounted for.
Well, loving also.
He knows his words perfectly. What he meant to say. The Nevi'im were not the...
I don't know. I mean, it's not obviously the Nevi'im. It's not on the same level as Hamisha Kamshei Torah. But still, you see Chazal, they words of a Navi. Prophecy is prophecy. It's still very significant.
Yeah, it's significant, but it's still not the word.
Not right. It's not Chamish Kumshay Torah. Okay, it's not the same thing.
From the Torah.
Okay, so the Mitzudas David decided deliberately to ignore the issue. He just says it's a metaphor. It means a lot. A lot of times. Doesn't say how many times. The word obviously relates to the word Sheva, seven. Seven in this world, Hashem made the world in 7 days. The word seven usually means the most. The most that you can possibly do in the physical world. The most you can do a lot of times, what that means exactly, we all know that. Don't, we look at an eshrog, how do you look at an eshrog? Arm's length. At the end of the day, you can go look at it like this and like this. At the end of the day, what makes it kosher or not, you hold it at arm's length. Do you see anything funny? Does it look strange to you? It looks good to me? You're done. Sefer Torah. You're supposed to go with a microscope? No. At the end of the day, you... you look from the bima. They go, but you know, it's you know, you go to a dentist. I don't know, every dentist, we have dentists over here. The dentist that I go to, you know, they when they do work on me, they put on, you did it also?
No, that was before, that was after my time.
After your time?
It wasn't in the beginning.
Wasn't in the beginning. So, but like, I recently had a little procedure on my gum. Even when he did work, I did work on a root canal. Even not root canal, it was whatever. But the different dentists, they put on these like little
loops.
On their eyes, and like supposedly they see all the way. What's the shot? Nearly not. If you're going to a farm store and you're going to buy an estrog and you see a guy there with this on his, they'll say, "I'm a sugar." But when they're doing work on you, no, you're very happy. You want that precision. So it goes to show, like, what are they saying halacha? If you ask the Talmid Chacham who's sitting there with a microscope with the estrog, they say, "Listen, the microscope is the, this is what they say." It makes a lot of sense. I'm not paskining based upon what I see in the microscope. What I'm using the microscope is to see what it really is. I want to use the microscope to see, is this a defect in the estrog? Is this a bletula? Whatever, they have all these terminologies. I want to know scientifically what I'm dealing with. Now that I have clarity, I know under the microscope what I'm dealing with, now, when I hold it at arm's length, I have much more clarity in passing the halacha of what it is. It's true. Make your hadin, you can just hold it at arm's length and you can say kosher apostle. You can, but I'm not comfortable with that because my eyes are not so good and I don't necessarily know the halachas, you know, there's things in the halacha. It gives me much greater satisfaction for me to know exactly, scientifically, what I'm dealing with. There are five different scenarios. So ordinarily you look at it, so you can, you know, your halacha allows you to be very lenient. But it's just much more satisfying if I know under a microscope which scenario I'm dealing with, and then I hold it at arm's length. Oh, one, two, three, finish. It's this clarity. Okay, it's all it is. With Sefer Moser, they do the same thing. Some of them, when they write, they actually also put on these goggles when they write. Today, the technology of the cemetery is unbelievable. You know, someone, when they write, you know, they have parchment, and they have a screen on top, and the screen basically projects onto the cloth the letters, what they have to write, so they don't make any mistakes. And it's all spaced out for them also. It's projected onto the parchment exactly the spacing. It's not so easy to justify. You should make the words come out exactly the way it is. It should be perfect. So it projects on the parchment. And they just basically write following what's being projected.
You know what tells me the most in terms of that? When I first was, you know, on this bit, and those few years after, you see a lot of tables with a flat lamed on top.
The long one.
Yeah, the long top, or a hay that was extended to make up the right. You don't see that anymore.
No,
ever.
You don't see it anymore. Right, no more.
Because it's computerized.
Right.
The reason it's flat, obviously, so it shouldn't pinch with the word above it.
It's very what you say, you know, because
so the spacing is exact.
About 2 years ago, so I worked with someone to make an Al HaMichya card. They actually have it in the kitchen over there. I have it in the kitchen over there. Get out if you want. So this Al HaMichya card, so I bought a font. We bought a font for I think, I remember how much it cost. $87. Everything was done kedasu kedin. We bought a very expensive professional font. And the font it comes with lamids, you press certain keys, so you do that, you have regular letters, and then you can have a long lamid, a long hay. And we found, it's very interesting, that on certain lines, spend a lot of time, that it should be perfect in many different ways. And especially, it should be very appealing to the eye. Space out the letters just right. I did a lot of experiments. It was like a whole scientific experiment, this thing. And we found that when we used on certain lines, the long lamids, and the long days, it just somehow had more of an appeal to the viewer. I'll show it to you during the break. And it shook me up. Because you would think, no, everything has to be perfect. It's not necessarily so. When there's a little, when there's a little flavor, variation, it's personality, it's flavor. Okay, I don't want to say the person's name. There's a certain person who's a very, very famous person, so famous in Safos, passed away. So he wrote, he for Klal Yisrael, he did an enormous amount and an incredible influence in Safos. And he also, he wrote Sifrei Torah. So there's a certain shul which has one of the Sifrei Torah that he wrote. And I didn't never learn from it, but I looked at it very carefully. And it was very disturbing to me. It was very disturbing, you know, because it was so perfect. It's like, did a person write this? Or this is written by a machine. And I guess Sifrei Torah is worth, probably it's priceless. if you want to sell that Sifrei Torah today, it will probably cost $200,000. $300,000. And then you can buy a Sifrei Torah for $50,000. Now, $50,000 today already became, unfortunately, the prices have gone really skyrocketing. But you buy a Sifrei Torah, let's say, the real top of Sifrei Torah today is probably, I would say, about $60,000. Anything more than that, they're just ripping you off. They're just, you know, mishagasim. But, they, you know, like McGillis. Once you get to $2,000, you're done. You're done. After anything over $2,000, they're just playing games with you. The difference of how much nicer it is between a $2,000 Megillah and the $3,000 Megillah is so small. Really, you're charging another $1,000. Why? What's really the yoifi is really so much that you can charge between this and this $1,000 more. Once you get to the top level, and yet there are certain Sifrei Torah that I'm familiar with, I just like them much more than that Sifrei Torah. This personality, what is it? It's that every letter is not the same. Every letter, because a human being wrote this. A human being wrote this, and every letter doesn't come out the way the other letter comes out, and it adds to it a certain yoifi. Okay, so going back over here, that we got it sidetracked. Let's go back over here to the word zokuk. It's zokuk shiv osayim. It is purified seven times over. Let's see the Rashi. Wait a minute, there's no Rashi on this either?
It's on the next pasuk.
Oh, so when he goes into...
In this edition, anyway.
In Atashem Tishmereim Titzere... Okay, you're right. So let's read the next pasuk. Let's do the next pasuk, then we'll come back and we'll see it all together. Atashem Tishmereim. We have over here one... How many times do we have a Shalshelis in Tanakh? I think we have it seven times. How many times is there Shalshelis? Seven or eight. Titzerenu. Titzrenim in Dorz, Ato Hashem, Yu Hashem Tishmerim, guard them. It's a chirik. Titzrenu, guard them. Min Hador Zul Olam. What do those words mean? Let's first look at the Mitzudeis David on page 105, Tishmerim. Es Ho'ev Yoinim. This pasuk is going back according to the Mitzudeis David. This pasuk is taking us back to pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav says Mishoid Aniyim will be in the Enkas Evyoinim. We're going back to the Aniyim and the Evyoinim. Hashem guard them, Gesundheit. Guard the Ani. Guard the Evyoin. Next, Ti Tzirenu. How do you say Achirik? What do most people say Tzitzis? Right? Is that really correct? Not really.
Tzitzis.
So the reason why you get away with it was saying you get away with saying tzitzis. You make the chirik into a shva is because there's no yud after. There's no yud. It's choser.
But I don't see anybody saying tzitz.
Tzitzis. There's no yud there either. What? So many people in the yeshiva world are not makbid and they say tzitzis.
Right.
Why do they get away? That's really wrong. It really should be tzitzis. Because there is a shita, I don't remember all the stuff, I used to know the stuff, is that there's a difference between echirik, mole, and echirik choser.
Right.
Iker hadin, there's no difference. You always should make believe there is a yud. When you have a echirik, so you should add a yud. You should add, now sometimes in the chumash there is a yud, sometimes there is not a yud. There is an opinion, I don't remember who, that says in the pronunciation there's a difference. When there is a yud, then you have to be very careful to emphasize that yud. When there is no yud, you can get away we're just making the chirik into basically, I don't know how you can do this, basically into a shava. So therefore, if you have the word, I think it depends how, where, I don't remember all the lines.
The end of PC, so midaberi love.
Midaber.
People who get crazy.
Midaber. Midaber. So, but when it comes to tzitzis, no one screams at you for that. When it comes to midaber, they'll chop your head off. When it comes to tzitzis, then they let you get away with it. Why? I don't know, because there's something on the sheet that says when you have a chiruk and it's a chiruk chaser, so you can make the chiruk chaser into a shva. So then it would be tzitzis. Tzitzis. When there is no yud. That's not so simple. Here, however, you can't do that. Because here there's a chik under the test, and there's a tzadi with a yudat, dogesh. So when there's a dogesh, it's a tenua gedolah, you have to pause. So you have no choice. You have no choice but to add the yud to say it correctly. T tseren. T, what? But the test. The tough. What?
It's like a double tzadi. Because the dogesh chazak.
Right, so yeah, but so the tav. The tav has to be T. Titzereno. Whoa.
It's connected.
Right.
Titzereno.
But there's a dat in the tzadi.
Two tzadikim here.
Right. So the second tzadi.
Titzereno.
Titzereno. All right. You're right. You're right. But you have to. It's very hard to say.
Titzereno.
There's a dat in the kuf.
Case.
There's a dad in the kuf?
I've heard people lane it like that.
Yeah.
How does Moshe lane? He's the authority on this.
I know.
It takes forever.
All right.
Because they asked me to lane once in his shul, and Moshe looked at me and went, nah.
All right, let's see over here. Rat Mitsudos, Titzerenu, Tishmar kol echel le'oila midei anshei hadar hahu. Now, so what is the difference between the word Titzerenu means the same thing. It means to guard. The Mitzudas David is telling us that there's no difference between the word Shemira and the next word of Titzerenu. Tishmereim, Esrav Yoinin, Titzerenu, Tishmar kol echad, le'oilam forever, midei anshe hadarhu, from the people of that evil generation. So he's adding some words into the pasuk. Ato Hashem, Tishmerim, guard them. Guard the Oni and the Evyon. Then it says again, Titzerenu, guard them. Same word, same idea. From who? Min hadar. Which dar? A dar of Rishoyim, a generation of evil people. They are vulnerable to the attack, to the wickedness of an evil generation. Zu of this hadar has hadar zu. This generation, referring to a generation of Rishoyim. Zu is emphasizing a specific type of culture. How long Hashem should you guard them? Le'oilam. Guard them forever. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Tishmerim. Le'oisam aniyim ve'evyoinim hanirdofim that are being pursued. Min hador zu shehem de lo toirin. Rabbi Chol always tells us the word de lo is informers, right? Informers. From right. So whereas the Mitzudas David says Rishoyim, he says informers, which is really the same idea. The same type of things. Mayor, you give me that book. It's a very interesting book on the Holocaust. The from Rats.
Yep.
What's his name? Rats.
Yeah. Are you talking
about? There's a book that Mayor gave me about the Holocaust. About a memoir. What's it called?
He was a 6-year-old.
He was a bar mitzvah boy. Yeah, so he has a memoir. So it's a fascinating book. It really is. He writes in such graphic terms exactly what happened. It's Spanish, unbelievable. And one of the things he mentions over there is about a story where he was in one of the ghettos, and the person in charge of the ghetto was seemed like he was Jewish. But they thought he was a guy, and he was secretly very sympathetic to the people under his people that he was in charge of, and they were involved in a lot of illegal activity. The people in the ghetto, the Jews, who were being killed right and left in order to survive, and he knew about it, and he helped them get away with it so they should survive. And the most dangerous thing was if someone would find out, there was an informer. If someone would find out. So there were different types of Jews. This is what he writes there. There were three Jews. Two of them were Lithuanians, one was a German, I don't know. And one of them found out what the other two were doing. So he went and he told the commander. And the commander, he thought, was a Russian, a Nazi, and would, you know, kill them all, punish them. And he didn't realize that that commander was really in disguise
Jewish
and sympathetic to his prisoners. And the commander realized that this person knows what's going on, and he's informing on these other two fellows, and that's going to lead to the whole thing being exposed, and the result will be everyone will be killed. The Nazis will find out, they'll kill them all. So he basically, I don't remember the details, he basically told those two guys to kill the informer. Even he was a Jew, for the greater good of saving everyone. An informer is the worst.
Yeah.
The informer is the people.
What?
The slanderers. Vlad Malshin and the slanderers.
The guy's name was Jack Ratz.
Jack Ratz, right.
He's no longer alive. He has a son, a chiropractor.
When did he pass away?
He passed away 3 or 4
years. I remember him.
Amazing book. Extremely graphic.
With Anne Frank, just this week, it was on. I've got a special news thing.
Yeah.
It was always mysterious who was the one that
ran around.
And now they're saying it was a Yid. It was a Yid. He was part of the what?
Judenrat.
Yeah. And he was the one. He was the one that.
Is he alive?
No. Nobody's alive. But they say they all. If it was this one, that one, it wasn't.
So how do they discover? How do they discover this?
Well, they don't know for sure, but they say that
they found new evidence of some sort.
Yeah, and it seems that it's very logical that he was the one.
They did a analysis of group analysis on a map of the people who were given over and what period of time and where this guy lived, and they saw that he was able to survive with his family, even though everyone's been sent away. So they assumed that the only way to survive was to trade information. And he started giving over people that he had access to that pulled in.
See, look, you can't second judge anyone what happened during those times.
He wanted to save his family.
In Chazal, it comes up again and again, people who are informers. This term is an explosive term. Dei lo toirin. And when you study history, and you study the Holocaust, study these things, it's you get a real appreciation, real life. You can't get an appreciation of what this word means just from reading from Chumash and Rashi. I mean, maybe you can, but when you read historical events and you come across people who, like you're talking about this story here, this word is a word that really leaps off the page.
He had the same experience, David, when he was in Bazif. Doi was in Yehuda. His own tribe.
His own people, right.
And him, they went to Shaul and they told him, "Hen David mistater imanu b'Bazif u'b'chor
sha." It's in the
message.
Informers.
He ran away.
So it goes to the other extreme.
Sometimes informers.
Right. It's an explosive term.
His own people.
That's what it is. They law term. Yeah.
But it goes to the other extreme where they don't want, where people who are abusing others, they don't want to.
Oh, okay, you're right.
It goes from one extreme.
Walder. Walder became a new word in Klal Yisrael. Make it into a verb. Walder him. What? Yeah. 100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. 100%. You're saying that sometimes you do have to inform. It's a double-edged sword. Sometimes, you know, abuse is abuse. Adkan, 100%. But over here, let's focus now on the other side. In Chazal, I never even knew what this word meant. Rabbi told me what the word meant. He told me what this word means, an informer. And then over time, when you come across the Mamre Chazal, it reappears very precise, with a lot of precision. And then when you read stories, that the Holocaust and this, and you learn about the damage that can come by giving over information. Person is trusted with information. That's a sacred mission to keep a secret. to keep a secret is a sacred mission. It's an incredible thing. I told you about my theory. You see Gidolei Yisrael. You see certain people who are mamish on the top of Klal Yisrael. And you look at them and you wonder, how did he get there? How did he get there? Is he the biggest Talmud Chacham? There are a lot bigger Talmud Chacham now. Does he have the best bedside manner dealing with people? Not necessarily. Is he humble? Not necessarily. Yet every so often they discover things that these people, they know how to keep secrets. People who know how to keep secrets can go very, very far. Hashem loves these people. Hashem catapults these people.
The contrast that measures between what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu, who was ratted out by Dothan and Abiram,
yeah,
and nobody informed on Eliyahu, where Eliyahu and the other prophets were hidden to Ahav.
Exactly.
There.
It's an amazing thing.
Therefore, they were successful, even though Avodah Zarah was rampant. But
there's enough material to make a PhD thesis on this concept of the significance, the sacred mission of keeping a secret. Person is given information, it's not meant for anyone else. You have information, you have to know when, how to, not, you have the information for a reason. No one has to know. No one has to know. And of course, you said also, you said there are times, today we live in a very complicated world. Today, all these revelations are coming out. What happened 50 years ago, 75 years ago? He knew this. How come you didn't say this guy was an abuser? You should have nipped it in the bud. Yeah, listen, life is complicated. But unfortunately, most of the real horror stories in this world are where people reveal secrets. And when you reveal secrets, the damage is enormous. Enormous. Not revealing secrets, like you say, no. We're very well aware. Everyone has their stories of abuse and this and that. Everyone's very well aware. But it goes both ways, as you said. And when this word appears in Tanakh, you really have to take pause. Menador zu sheheim de lo toirin. They are informers. And when they are informers, wow. You really need siyata d'shmaya to protect yourself. When they're coming to get you, and there are people out there that are willing to give over the information that's going to bring you enormous harm, you need, David here is being mispalel, guard them, and then he used another word, titzirenu, you use that word by the people of the eye. We have that in Chumash, titzirenu ki ishoin eino. What is the most delicate part of the person's body? The pupil of the eye. That's the most delicate part of the body, and the word titzirenu ki ishoin, it's in hazinu, titzirenu. Is it with a shvat or a chirik?
It's a chirik.
It's a chirik. There also. So it'll be titzirenu. It's
titzirenu.
Oh, it's yitzirenu. It's okay. The same word, but yitzirenu. So yitzirenu here. It's the same word. That word is used in reference to the pupil of the eye. Yeah, it's not just a superficial security where the security guard is sleeping. This means you're watching very, very protective.
More relevant is nitzar l'shan kol me'ruah.
Nitzar, very good. Nitzar l'shan, you have two barriers, the teeth and the lips. The only part of the body that has a double barrier. Okay, let's...
What friendship way?
Sorry?
No, what to the information in minutes?
I don't know, okay, fine. Okay, let's try something over here. Minadar, Zushem, Dilodim, Mizukok. Now, I don't even have time to go do this. Nevertheless, in Mizukok, Shavosayim, purified seven times over. Medeshag al Yesh. Umiyoshev al HaSeder. We're just going to start over here. Rabbi Yeshua, Disichnin. Name of a place. Yeah. Name of a place. Disichnin. B'shem Rabbi Levi. Tinoikos shahayu bimei David. Ad shloi tamu tamcheit. Chayu yoidim lidroish satayra ba'arboim v'teish apanim l'choltzat. The children who lived in the generation of David HaMelech, before they were toyim, pure children,
very young
children. It's an expression. Children, children, they don't know what an aver is. They're sheltered. They're sheltered from the evil of this world, the contamination of this world. They have not been given the sioinos, so they're pure. In their purity, they were able to darsh in the Torah 49 panim l'chol tzad. How do you know that? Where does that come from?
This is referring to Tumah and Tara.
Hayoyidim Lidrosh Es HaTayra.
Okay. Another version.
Another version? Tumatah, okay. Say the Taharas. The most esoteric portions of the Torah, they were fluent. They were knowledgeable to the degree most of us don't even know the Aleph Beis of Tumah V'Taharah, Seder Taharas. They knew it inside out. After the Kaf, they can darshan 49 interpretations of every single word that's written in Seder Taharas. How do you know that? Where does that come from? V'zehu Shiv Osoyim. So number one, he tells us the word Shiv Osoyim does not mean sevenfold. It means right. Seven times seven. Right. The Yud and the Mem connote the plural. So when there's
really,
seven,
it's really squared.
Squared. So the Yud, the Mem always means a ribuy. You go from the Yochid to a Rabin. And in the context of the word Shiva, which is seven, when you add a Yud Mem, it means not make it multiply it. Seven multiplied by seven for a total of 49. The Imarois Hashem Toharois, as Michal pointed out, is we're dealing with Seder Taharas. There are six orders. There is the Shisha Sudarim. So which is the most esoteric? Taharas. Imarois Hashem, the words of Hashem. Torah Shebal Peh. Dafka, words, not what's written down on the page. Words on the page is Torah Shebichsav. The Imarois Hashem is Torah Shebal Peh. Which chedek of Torah Shebal Peh? The Imarois Hashem that are Tehoirois. Seder Taharas. Mizukok Shiva Sayim, it's purified seven times seven, Shiva Yud Mem, seven times seven, 49 times, meaning 49 interpretations of every single word in Seder Taharis. Who can do such a thing? Only a person that is pure, only a person that is tar, his Nesham is pure, is able to have the Siyata Deshmaya to uncover the mysteries of Hashem's Torah. In this mizmar, Rashi is telling this message. David is being misspelled for them. Riboyne Shalom, re'e kama toiroscha ve'im rosicha berura umizukekes shivosayim belibam. Look at these kindlach. Look how well versed they are. Look how much Torah knowledge they have. Ata Hashem, tishmerim, guard the children. Protect the children. Shemor oisa bilibam. Remember them. Titzrenu min hadar hazeh le'olam. Shelo yilmedu darchehem liyos dei lo toirin. Do not allow these kindlach to become the worst of the worst. Not just rishaim, the worst type of rasha, informers. Min hadar, from the generation shehem dei lo toirin. Shemira. Isn't this exactly what we said from the Chazon Ish? This was the Yisrael, it said only 100 times in the Shir. The Chazon Ish says when it comes to children, you don't have to pray they should be Yirei Shemayim. You don't have to pray that they should be Talmidei Chachamim. It's a Tefillah Shah. But that's not the Iker Tefillah parents, teachers, and Klal Yisrael have for children is Hashem should just protect them, to guard them from the distractions. Children, a neshama, elokai neshamosh, nasag b'tahari. A child will naturally be pulled after the kedusha of the Torah and develop into a very great person. Why, unfortunately, do we see that it doesn't always happen? Because the distractions are so great, it takes them away from where naturally they would go. They would naturally be drawn into becoming great people. The distractions pull them in the wrong way, and before you blink, they're gone. They're different people. David HaMelech is not praying here for the children. Hashem, make them into Talmidei Chachamim, inspire them, put in their hearts the same belief in the Lord Haskell. No, he's not saying that. Hashem, on their own, will become great. We need you to protect them from the influence of the evildoers out there in the world, which are pulling them in the wrong way. Ata you Hashem tishmerim, guard the kindlach, who are mizukok shiv osoyim in the previous pasuk of the Maros Hashem Tohairos. Titzrenu, guard them Hashem like the pupil of your eye, min hador zu, from this generation of the Deloi Tarim. Okay, today it's an impossible world today. Today the distractions are just impossible. L'oila, forever. And that way, the Klal Yisrael will have a glorious future. Okay, we'll have to stop over here, take a short break.
So nobody told?
That's right. No one told Achashverosh that Esther.
And with Bnei Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim, the storyline was Derech Shloshim Yomim and they left by Midbar. When did Klal Yisrael know that they were leaving for good? They took everything with them. They had to know they're leaving. They didn't hire the needed spies.
That's why it says twice.
Yeah, but in the meantime, nobody said, you know, they're planning to get